that amount. And last sentence of the book of Matthew. Have you got your Bible here? Would you? I don't know if it's going to come up on the board. It may not. Some of you may be familiar with it. If you want to just peek over someone's shoulder. The very last sentence in the Gospel of Matthew says the following. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And surely I am with, and it's not only talking to Shirley, it's talking to Debbie and Catherine and Michael and David and Peter. And surely I am with you. Say, he is with me. Right to the end. Amen. This is the promise and guarantee that you've got of his presence. And we are grateful, eternally grateful, for the fact that he's promised that we can live in his presence. You know, we're not just a dead religion. We're not just dead orthodoxy, rules and principles. We have the privilege of getting up in the morning with the tangible presence of God, going about our daily work, acknowledging and experiencing him. And what I want to share with you this morning, which I hope is going to be helpful, are just seven different ways that we experience the presence of God. And then I just want to wrap up with a little bit of an exhortation around practically working that out. So you with me? Now, these seven things don't apply to everybody. You'll probably find yourself in one of these seven areas. But there's seven basic ways that we, our individual wiring, our uniqueness, connects with the presence of God. I know the mistake I made early in our marriage, Janet will tell you, is I tried to impose on her my method of connecting with God. She used to be an evening person, a late night person to spend time with the Lord. I was an early morning person. And I was convinced it's too late to wait to the end of the day. You've got to do it in the morning. And the more she tried, the more difficulty she found with it until she didn't do morning or evening for a while. Just for a day or two. Amen. So there are different ways. And in our uniqueness, there's different ways we connect and experience the presence of God. And I want to just share some of these with you. If you're making notes, the first one on this topic of experiencing God is relational. A relational person, let's call these doorways. The notes should be coming up shortly, but it's not too difficult to remember. Relational doorway, again, talking about Janet, she's that kind of person. If she's surrounded by people, she comes alive. Lots of people talking and buzzing around. I mean, if I say to Janet, we're going to the mountains to be still before the Lord, her idea of that is just foreign. She wants to bring 30 friends from the church. Another person who's like that is Terry. I mean, Terry comes alive when there's groups of people around him buzzing, six conversations at once. Only Lebs can do that. Talk to six different people, have six different conversations while there's one person. So the first doorway into his presence some people are more relational. They come alive when there's groups of people buzzing around them. The second category is the intellectual doorway. This is the Louis Putz. Are you here this morning, Louis? The Louis Putz kind of person. They're more intellectual and need to be systematic about the word. And as they're going about, they're systematic with concordances and lexicons around their Bible. They come alive and experience the presence of God. I remember, those of you who remember Greg McKinnon, he was also like that. If you went into his time with the Lord, it would just be lots and lots of books. Now some of us like books, but we do it because we have to, not because that's where we experience God. These kind of people, that's where they connect with God. The third kind of person, and thank God for those people, because those were the John Calvins and the Michael Eatons and the John Pipers of the world that have brought us amazing truths and biblical revelation by being those kind of people. The third area are those who serve. the serving doorway. It's those who, while they're serving, they kind of experience the presence of God. It's like Trevor. You know Big Trevor, who when he goes around giving out food parcels and visiting people in hospital, he feels alive. He feels close to God. He feels like he's experiencing God. And by the way, Trevor, you know, he's put his back out. He's waiting for an operation. So he's a bit out of action. So maybe we can reciprocate in our prayers, in our thoughts, in our love. As you know, it's been several weeks that they haven't been able to get around. And we're still trusting and believing for healing for him. But that's how he's wired. Don't ask him just to sit in a Bible study. Don't ask him just to stand at a prayer meeting. That's not where he necessarily tangibly experiences the presence of God. He wants to be doing and giving and serving people, making sure people fit in, making sure people's needs are met. Janet's a little bit like it, my wife. She also is more alive when she's serving and doing things. And while they're doing that, they are in tune with God. The fourth kind of person, and I would fit in here a little bit more, is let's call it the contemplative doorway. It's those who like to be alone. They need more space, time out. They need to be in the mountains on their own. They need to make sure they don't spend too much time in crowds, because crowds can drain them. Crowds can make them tired. They need to carve out time to be contemplative, to meditate and be on their own. My kids used to say to Janet, "Are you sure Dad's not a stoner?" Because they'd often find me sitting out at the swimming pool just staring blank out across the valley, or standing looking up at a tree, or they were convinced I was a stoner. I wish I was more like Terry. You know, I wish I was more like Janet. But being around people too much can be draining and tiring. I need to carve out times where I'm just alone walking with the Lord. And while I'm walking with the Lord, I'm not just in a trance, but I'm very much caught up on meditating on an aspect of His goodness, meditating on creation, meditating on His love, or one passage of Scripture or a concept. And as I'm doing that, I'm experiencing the presence of God. And don't be too hard on the contemplatives, okay? You also need them, as much as they need those who kind of are connected with God while they are in their books, or connected with God while they're serving, or connected with God when they just got lots of relational stuff buzzing around them. The fifth is the activist doorway. This is the kind of person that they need a cause to come alive. We remember that lady in our church, Thora Mansfield? And she went and started NGO, Open Door, doing a wonderful work. Love Thora. Think she's amazing. Thinks, I believe there are going to be trophies and medals for her like we can't imagine. But she's that type of person. She needs a cause. Bill's a bit like that. Bill also needs like a project. He needs something. I think James probably a bit like that as well. But people who need a cause. They need a project. They need to be in their activity, like an activist would be about a project of sorts. While they're going about that, they come alive. They feel energized. They usually got 10 things up in the air at any given time. But don't feel sorry for them. They love it. I mean, us contemplatives don't get them. And probably us intellectuals don't get them. But they need to have a whole lot of stuff going on at the same time, or else they don't feel like they're connected with God. And it beats me how you can be connected with God with 10 things up in the air, but they are white-knuckled, breathing deeply, and by the time they get to bed at night, their hair's all burnt out. But they are just, they've got to be run, 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 run kind of people. But that, it's not just having a cause for cause sake, or being busy for busy sake. That's when they feel in their spirit connected with God, and the juices of words of wisdom and words of knowledge are operating and flowing. I guess a lot of young people seem to fit in that category. Okay, where are we? Number six. the creation doorway. Now, I think most of us can relate to this one, because this is where we love being out in nature. Come on. You love just a mountain range, being by the sea, looking at the oceans, just being out in creation, nature. And I think for Christians who have been connected with the Father of creation and understand that by His Word everything exists, have a deep appreciation and feel connected to their daddy when they stand on the masterpiece of breathtakingly beautiful, exquisite scenes and stars that speak of His eternity. That they receive direct meaning from creation. The eternity of the stars, the grandeur and the bigness of creations, of the mountain ranges, speak of God. The deserts, even deserts speak to us in the sense of God leading us and guiding us and never forsaking us. The oceans speak of His just faithfulness and His vastness. So I think for most of us, especially the more contemplative types, that's where we come alive. Maybe the servers, and I speak for my wife again, she doesn't get too excited about standing staring at mountain ranges. It's not her like first prize. You know, she'd rather be painting the mountain ranges, but so she can give the painting to somebody and bless them. You know, that's how she's wired. While she's painting, she thinks, I'm giving this to this person. It's going to be such a blessing to them. She feels that's God's gift to her and God's gift through her to another person. I want to walk in the mountains. I want to be in the mountains. Then we have the worship doorway. Again, I think most of us relate to that one. Because if you're born again as a Christian, as a child of God, these are one of those experiences you want to have. It's like we, this morning, as we caught up just loving Him, worship Him, there's a moment where we just get detached from other stuff around us and are focused on Him. I saw last week, I mean, Rain was standing in the front of you, and I know you had a busy week, I know you had a difficult week, but I saw just in a split second when the worship started, just a light shine over His face as His hands went up. Do you feel that? You come into a place where there's beautiful, meaningful worship, where you gather together with, and through the songs, just loving and adoring, not just for the sake of the good music, but because of a connectedness. Now, if you're a true worshiper like that, then you don't just wait till Sunday to do that. I think most Christians do wait for Sunday to have their time of meaningful worship. That's their doorway into experiencing the presence of God. But for the genuine worshiper, I mean, it happens on their CD. It happens in their iPod. It happens while they're walking down the road. It happens while they're lying in their bed. Worship is like their primary way of breaking into the presence of God. And I know there's many of us here. Good church is a good place to experience that, but it's not the only place. Amen? So those are a couple of doorways help us understand maybe our difference, what connects us with wanting to experience God. Yeah, the most important thing, and don't forget this. If you forget these seven different ways, now, and there's many others, and these aren't the final discussion, but it's about connecting with the presence of God. You were made to live in God's presence. Jesus promised you He would never leave you. He would be with you always. Surely, to the end of that age, His presence is there. And you know, it's like wavelengths in the atmosphere. They're there all the time. But if we're not experiencing them, they're not doing us any good. If we're not tuned in, if we can't dial into the frequency. So these are some of the different wiring that different people have. And I should say three things about those different ways. Is first of all, which is your primary way of breaking in? Focus on that and press into it, but also try out the other ones. So if you are an intellectual person, always want to be surrounded by books to connect, also learn how to be a worshiper, or at least do worship, do the contemplative stuff, do the relational stuff, do the serving stuff, because in there are ways of feeling God's presence. But stick to the one that works for you. And third, finally, we've actually, at the end of the day, got to make the time just to do it. Because you can leave here this morning knowing about different ways of connecting with God, different ways of tapping into practicing his presence. But let me say, let me remind some of you who weren't here the morning Janet was sharing her bizarre experience up in Joburg, a house cluttered with stuff, and in one room there was actually a doorway that she didn't know about, leading into a passage. The house was so cluttered, she didn't even know there was a door into a doorway. I mean, that is just outrageous to think that in your home there could be a doorway, but there's so much stuff going on and there's so much clutter and there's so much stuff that you don't even know there's this door. But could that also be true in our spiritual life? Could that be true of your life, that maybe there is a doorway through which God is inviting you and wanting you to experience more of him, like one of these seven ways we looked at now? But because there's just so much busyness and so much clutter and so much stuff, we don't even know there's a door in that place. I mean, come on. Life is busy. And raising kids is not for the faint-hearted. There's a lot of boxes around the place. Trying to run a business, run life, do life, stay fit, stay on the edge of your industry, staying up to date. It's not for the faint-hearted. It requires a 24/7 focus. But the problem with a 24/7 focus is it doesn't leave space for that door. I mean, we want the best for our kids. Come on. You want the best for your children. So while we're educating them and preparing them for life, they need a bit of extra maths, they need a bit of extra soccer, they need a bit of extra, you know, ballet, if they're a girl probably, or maybe not. They need you need an extra course at this, you need to attend this thing. I even think of my son's staring at me here this morning. 7 o'clock school, finish at 2 o'clock, extra lessons till 3 o'clock. 4 o'clock sport. Sport finishes at 6 o'clock at night. 6 o'clock come home. Homework till 9 o'clock. Next morning, in the swimming pools, training at 5:30 till 7:30. Start school till 2:30. Extra lessons, sport, quick supper, 3 hours of homework. I mean, where do you find a door? I meet parents like that. Well, I'm just taking Johnny off to soccer, and then on the way I'm going to go with Karen past extra maths, and then on the way back I've got to drop the kids off, have their dental thing done, and then we're going to get home, and then after homework we're going to just take them out to this thing, play, they've got to attend and practice rehearsal. And where's the door? How do you find a door in this lifestyle? Do we want the best for our kids? Of course we do. Do we want the best for our careers? Of course we do. But here's the thing. Do you know any good Jewish folks? Who's got good Jewish friends? A couple of us. Okay. I grew up in a Jewish community. And in this Jewish, in Springs, Nochal. This was in the 70s. Nochal. In Springs, I went to their bar mitzvahs, I attended shul with some of them, I grew up in a Jewish community. And they are hardworking, diligent people. Put a lot of effort into education, and they are very productive, creative, on-the-go people. There's nothing like leave it to tomorrow for them. Now, you reflect on the Jewish history. 450 years... as slaves. Do you think they had a day off? Not a chance. They worked day and night, day and night, day and night. So much so that by the time God delivered them out of captivity, he had to give them a commandment and say, you're going to take a day off a week. They weren't going to discuss it. It was like, God, hang on, have you made a mistake here? Shouldn't it like be you work for a month and then you take a day off. God, you know, hey, me and my brother Levi, yeah, hey, we used to work very hard for our Pharaoh king. And if we put in that same time now in the fields, we'll have so much. God said, the seventh day, you do nothing. You see, God is the designer, so he knew what was good for them, physically, emotionally, but also spiritually. In God's thinking, he knew that life is going to get so busy and so jam-packed, and there's going to be so many boxes in the passage, by the time we can blink or say slati bart fart, there's going to be so much going on in our lives that we're not going to find the room where the door is, never mind find the door into the passageway. And he says, you're going to take, it's one of the big 10. Now, we live in a new covenant, I understand that. We're not under the law for righteousness, praise God. You were never born a Jew. But the same designer is your designer, and he knows you need some breathing space in your life for him. Hello? He knows that life is fast and busy enough to gobble you up and spit you out in little pieces. And there's a place. Now, for some of us, it could be a few minutes every hour. For some of us, it could be an hour every day. For some of us, it's a day in the week. I'm more like a few hours a day kind of person. And I'm not talking about keeping the Sabbath holy for the sake of keeping the Sabbath holy. The Sabbath was made for you. God wants you to know this morning that you need to find a place to breathe. You need a place to connect with him. You've given up this time this morning for that very reason. To come into a place where you can draw oxygen of life. Where out of the go, 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 go life, you get this moment to reflect. You get this moment where you hear some guy get up and speak what he believes is a word of the Lord for you. You get to sing in a corporate meeting place and flow with the gifts of the Spirit. That is one of the ways you unstring the bow of your life to make sure that its flexibility isn't completely lost. Because if we carry on at that rate, it's insanity. But worse than insanity, you know what it subliminally says? And I want you to hear this. Other than just being unsustainable and madness and points to early burnout, there's another serious flaw, and it's this. We start trusting in ourselves because we think if I don't do this and they don't do this, we're not going to get ahead. We're not going to be able to achieve. We're not going to have provision. What are we subtly saying deep down in ourselves is I'm trusting number one. I'm trusting me. I'm going to do it. I'm going to work 30 days and take half a day off a month. I'm going to show that's old covenant. I'm going to be a new covenant man. Yes, burnt out at 55. But subtly, we've said to God, this stuff of keeping my life uncluttered, finding space where I can connect with you, hear from you, draw strength from you, draw my nourishment, and experience your presence is not the most important thing for me right now, because I'm at that stage in my life where it's all about me achieving and getting to the place where I'm self-sufficient. Can you at least say amen to that? It reveals something of where I'm trusting, who I'm trusting. God gave them a commandment. He doesn't give us a commandment, but the designer knows who we are. And when we come into the New Testament, Jesus says, hey guys, you know the pagans, they're very worried about what they eat, what they wear. In Matthew chapter 6, he gets to this point. He says, they're always running around worrying about this, that, and the other thing. But I don't want you to live like that. I want you to put me in my kingdom first. Because while you're doing that, I'm going to do a miracle in your life. I'm going to meet your needs. Now, does that mean we don't work harder than anyone else for the other few days? Of course not. It means we work with a lot more wisdom, a lot more discernment, a lot more living from Christ within us, not just out of our heads and out of our wisdom and education, but we're living from a place of where it's alive, because we've found a place to tap in, a doorway. We've got an advantage the world doesn't have, and it's His presence in our lives, on our lives. We've got an advantage the world doesn't have, and it's knowing the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's seeing the way He sees, hearing the way He hears. This gives us a sneak preview into the way Jesus lived when He said, I only do what I see the Father do. I only speak the words of my Father. Jesus as a man was tapped in to a living experience with the Holy Spirit. And as He was walking through life, He was saying, guys, this is how I want you to live. Because when you live this way, my God, who sees the birds and knows their needs and sees the grass and how beautifully it's clothed, He knows what your needs are. He'll give you the wisdom. He'll give you the opportunities. He'll open the doors for you. He'll supernaturally work through your life. But put His kingdom first. Put His righteousness first. That's the New Testament application of an Old Testament commandment. So, how does this apply to you? What I want to leave you with here this morning. Jesus promised at the end of Matthew that He will never leave you. But if we're not experiencing the tangible presence of God, if we're not practicing it as a lifestyle, maybe because we don't know how we're wired or what is it that works for us, we're not benefiting. So then we're going through life in our own wisdom. We're going through life with weight strapped around our waist, running as fast as we can, white knuckled, hair on fire, breathing 1,000 breaths a second, thinking, I've got to stay ahead. I've got to, kids got to go to this course, got to go to this training, got to do this sport, got to do. And we're just going wild in our own imagination. And not only are we burning ourselves out, we're burning them out. And Jesus said, your Father says, don't worry about these things. He knows that you need them before you even ask Him. And He'll show you the next step. Because when you find that doorway that takes you into His presence, then we don't have to wait to a Sunday morning to have a time of encounter with the Holy Spirit. When that door is open and you're walking through that door, you wake up on Monday morning, you walk into the office, and that door is wide open. And you say, thank you, Father, I'm in the presence, I'm hearing the Holy Spirit, I'm seeing the vision He has, I'm feeling the burden of the Spirit in my life, and I'm alive. I'm alive because I have a purpose, I have a calling, I have a duty to fulfill that is unique to me. Nobody else is put on this planet to do what God called you to do. Don't be silly and clutter your life to a place of craziness, saith your pastoreth on Sundayeth, morningeth, from the depth of his heart. Because I know we are touched by it. We feel it. Can we stand up this morning? Maybe you came into this place and you don't even know if you're born again. You don't even know Jesus as your personal Savior. Can we pray for you? We as a congregation would love to pray for you. So church, let's pray for those people here this morning. Someone who doesn't even, they don't even know there was a door. They didn't even know Jesus is the door. And let's call out to God for them right now. Father, would you show yourself? Would you show yourself as who you are? Your yoke is easy, your burden is light. Would you show yourself this morning to people in this place who've been going to church, can sing the songs, and even own Bibles, but have never been born again in their spirit made new. We want to lift them up to you right now. We want to pray, Holy Spirit, would you come and just bring clarity? Would you shine light into their hearts? And if that's you we're speaking about right now, don't you want to just look up at me, make eye contact. In a moment, I'm going to look in your direction, and if that's you, I want to pray for you. I want you just to indicate to me by raising your hand so I know who I'm praying for. But if you're sitting looking at me right now, don't you want to just raise your hand and just hold it up for a moment as I just come into agreement with you? Looking at me, raise your hand. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Keep your hand up. Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else? Over here. Thank you, sir, at the back. Anybody else? Thank you, sir. Anybody else? If you're looking at me now saying, that's me, I want to be included in that prayer. Thank you, sir. Anybody else on the side? You say, I want to be included in that prayer. Thank you, sir. Man, I want to pray for you guys right now. This is going to be bold. This might be the most courageous thing you've ever done. But right now, as we go into the song, I want you to slip out of your seats. Come here, because I want to look you in the eyes and I want to put my hands on you and I want to pray and just pray for a touch of the Holy Spirit and His presence on you right here, right now. So just come, wherever you are. All of you put your hands up. Come right now. Come stand in the front here. The church here is worshiping. The church here are rejoicing. Everybody here had to do this at some stage. Everybody at some stage had to say, Lord, I'm coming. Lord, I'm coming. Can I ask some of the leaders to come and stand with these folk? One leader, one person in this church, come and stand behind each person right now. Just come and stand behind them, men on men, woman on woman. Isn't this glorious? I want to tell you, the presence of God has been promised to never leave you, never forsake you. The presence of God comes to bring freedom where you feel chained. It comes to bring wisdom where you feel you've lost your dream, where you've lost your passion. And right now, as a church, we're reaching out to you and we're saying, Holy Spirit, would you come and do reconstruction miracles here this morning? Where the heart was dead, that you'll make hearts alive. Where vision was dead, you'll bring vision alive. We pray for a supernatural, supernatural. Those of you standing in front here, don't you want to just lift up your hands, just open, as if you're receiving something. Hold your hands in like a posture of you're receiving a gift right now. And say after me, Father God, thank you for Jesus. That He bled and died and gave His life for me. The perfect life for my imperfect life. His total freedom for my captivity. His life for my death. Spirit of God, come and fill me. Cleanse me from all my sin. Change the way I think about God the Father, about the Holy Spirit, and about Jesus. That's right, that's right, that's right. Just receive. And to everybody else standing right now, don't you want to just lift up your hands? Holy Spirit, I pray right now for all God's people in this place. Just for that beautiful wind of your Spirit that comes to encourage. And where there's clutter in our life, I pray for strategies. Where there's doubt and self-trust, I pray for faith. Where there is crazy busyness and burnt outness, I pray for rest, for the Sabbath rest of God. Come into our spirits and hearts, into our homes, into our marriages, into our child rearing, into our church, into our community. Peace, grace, and lots of love be poured upon you in Jesus' name. Those up here, don't be in a rush. There's someone standing with you who will speak to you in a moment. But to everybody else, may God bless you and keep you. Have an awesome, awesome week ahead. Amen. Amen.